If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
All right, legendary classic TV series MASH is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Few actresses can capture the imagination of generations of television viewers with the certainty and charm of Emmy Award-winning actress Loretta Swit. As quick-witted and passionate Major Margaret Houlihan of TV's most honored series, MASH, she is one of the few actors who can say she was on every season of this iconic program. Loretta was the only woman lead on the show and truly is a part of television history. Her role on MASH will be her most memorable, but she also has been in countless movies and TV series and is also an accomplished theater actor and has devoted herself for decades to animal activism. And to celebrate MASH's 50-year milestone is the legendary Loretta Swit. Loretta, so glad you are joining us.
Well, I couldn't be happier. You know what we talk about. We talk about Chicago.
Yes, yes, which is
okay,
one of your favorites.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've been here many, many, many times, and it's almost like you lived here for a while.
Oh, for sure. A lot of people think I do, which is fine with me. I could.
You could. You absolutely could. 50 years of this legendary series. Did you ever imagine that this show would still be relevant and continues to be watched by millions?
I'll tell you, there's no, in your wildest imagination, and actors have wild imaginations, and they also, when entering into a series or a job or something, you have very high expectations. You want it to be the best. You're going to give it your best. But never would any of us have dared dream about becoming icons. 50 years later, to be talking about how wonderful the show was to do, and it boggles the imagination.
Yeah.
Certainly boggled ours.
Yeah, not from this end. From a viewer's end, this show has been iconic for five decades,
and you can
jump in at any time.
Hello.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Hawaii 5-0, Mission Impossible, Mannix, Young Dr. Kildare were some of your first appearances on television, and the team at the time at 20th Century Fox were familiar with your work, so they actually had you in mind for the role on the TV version of MASH.
Yes, this is true. This is true. I went in for the interview with a lot of backup, a lot of backing. I had just done the premiere show for Glenn Ford's series, Cades County, and Darren McGavin was my co-star. We had great reviews for the first show. So Fox was not unfamiliar with my work.
Yeah.
And ironically, most of my TV work had been done on CBS. Millie Gussie, rest in peace. She said, whatever you do, don't allow them to look at film. Most of what you've done is comedy and drama. It was the reverse. And MASH was touted, you know, first of all, as a comedy,
right,
turned into a dramedy. But she said, don't trust them. They have no imagination. And she was talking about people like herself, you know. So she said, just say, I'll test for you, I'll read for you, I'll do anything you want, but I'm not going to risk having you look and saying, well, she's a great actress, but can she make you laugh? Just tell them I don't have anything proper, you know, for you to see. And she said, they're going to try to say, oh, no, we'll know. And she said, trust me, they don't.
So, it's true. It's very, very true. Yeah, very little imagination when it comes to that. Did you actually Did you actually see the original movie when it came out?
Never. Is that cute or what? Never saw the movie MASH. So, and then, of course, I was away during most of the casting flap.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Hawaii with my friend Jack Lord doing a two-parter, beautiful show. And
wow.
I came back. My agent called and said, have you seen MASH? And I said, what is that? He said, oh, wonderful, wonderful. He said, you have an appointment to talk to Gene Reynolds and Larry Gelbart tomorrow. So he said, but don't worry, it's okay, but you don't have to know anything about it. He said, they just want to meet with you, look you over, have a little chat. There wasn't a script. Hello?
Yeah.
There wasn't any script.
Yeah.
There weren't even sides. There was nothing. It was just, you know, Gelbart and Gene, they had the dream in their hearts, and that was it. So, okay, having said that, I said, oh, fine. No nerves there. Just going to sit and meet and talk and have a lot of fun laughing and, you know. So I wasn't even nervous. Anyway, that's my story.
Well, I was going to say, so you didn't really get to be in the same room with everybody until probably a table read.
The first time we were all together was, we had been cast. We had been hired. That
was
it.
Right.
It was a pilot. It was not an 11-year deal.
Right, yeah.
I usually, in my art book, I call it the miracle of MASH. It really was a kind of miracle in a way, because at this particular time, these particular people pulling together with the same basic attitudes and morals, and yeah, I mean, it just, we were all on the same page from day one, and I think we all fell in love from hello. Whatever magic that was, or blessing, I like to think of. I usually do call it a blessing in my life, and of course, you know, the boys and I are family. They love when I call them the boys.
Yeah.
No more than when they call me the girl or the kid. They call it, for years, they called me the get the kid.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You did some research before you got the role. You know, you were playing a head nurse.
Yeah.
It was in the war. So, you had a prep.
That was actually my announcement. I said, okay, but I'm going to be the best damn head nurse in Korea. Is everybody in agreement about that? You know,
that's great.
And she did, with the help of understanding, you know, the producers and the writers. Let's face it, she had a lot of evolving to do. I remember Gelbart one day, we're out of range of the camera. He said, just hang in there with me, huh? Hang in there. We're going to find her. And I said, I know we will.
Mm.
I trusted him, and oh, God, I loved him. I used to introduce him as my friend, the genius. Don't do that.
Wow.
My friend, the genius.
You know, we were talking a little bit about this character, and, you know, you said Gene Reynolds, who was, you know, the executive behind the show. And, you know, the character was unique because it was a show being shot in the 70s and 80s about the 50s, where women weren't always in a place of power. And your character always showed strong leadership, stood up for herself and others, and yes, could play with the boys and beat them. But your character absolutely evolved over those 11 seasons.
Oh, yes. It was a thrilling experience for me as a woman and as an actress to be able eventually, it took them a little while, you know.
Yeah.
There are so many side stories I'm trying to brush away so I can just not diverge. It took them a while to understand where I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, and even now, collectively, it's a male war, you know.
Yeah.
And it was, obviously, there were six of us in the beginning, and I was the only woman.
Mm-hmm.
So there had to be things I had, there were things I had to deal with. You know, I was blessed with people who allowed me to try. Allowed is not even a good word. It sounds like they gave me permission, but I mean, I felt Sometimes, yes, I had to demand or get pushing or something. But I felt I could. I felt that they were going to be reasonable eventually. They were going to understand eventually what she needed to be. And having not seen the film, I didn't know where they were coming from. Mm-hmm. I did read the book, and I think we were probably closer to the book because it was written in sort of chapters or segments or episodes. Mm-hmm. It was an adventure for me, growing not only as an actress, as the character, but as a person as well.
Sure.
To try and evolve with that character to a place where I could sit down equally and say, look, you know I have a higher voice and a softer body, but I have something to say here, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, I am so proud of Major Margaret Houlihan. I get mail every day from women all over the world who say they've become nurses because of watching Margaret Houlihan.
That's great.
You can't imagine what that does to me. It just is so fulfilling. It's like, well, I can stop now and put it on my stone. People became nurses because of this.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah.
You know, it is so rich. I mean, gosh, this overwhelming and... I read mail sometimes that have me weeping, you know, with things they say. And initially, I think MASH was the best babysitter there was. Kids could watch MASH.
Sure.
And not learn anything wrong or negative, or they were watching something that helped them grow in a positive fashion. Harry Morgan said. In an interview, the interviewer said, do you feel that MASH made you a better actor? And he said, oh, gee, I don't know about that, but I'll tell you this, it made me a better person.
Oh, wow.
And that's from Harry Morgan, only that's like the best guy in the world. But he, absolutely, we were dealing with issues that were important, and dealing with them in a very positive, arguable way in many cases, you know. I can think of so many, but it was a real challenge and a learning process for everybody. You know, it was great.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about not only the cast, but you know, the character itself. You know, you were. To me, there was always three relationships throughout the series that were front and center. One, obviously, was mm-hmm. Frank Burns, Larry Linville. One was Hawkeye, Alan Alda. And one was with yourself. It was a relationship you had with yourself, finding your way through life, what you wanted out of life, the character. And, you know, those early seasons between Hot Lips and Frank, they were funny as hell. I mean, you two, the chemistry between you was really,
indeed.
It was amazing.
Indeed, but it was... If I were going to continue to grow as the character, which is what I was fighting for,
couldn't do it.
I could not continue
right.
in that joke. Yes, it was funny. And yes, Larry and I were, I mean, we would get a script and would take out our scenes and would go off somewhere, you know, on stage 9 and would work out some wonderful, funny stuff.
Yeah.
Bring it back to the director and would say, how do you like this? Then would do the scene and he'd say, I love it. You know, 10 times out of 10, I love it.
Which is
and
rare.
So we'd do it.
That's rare, though.
So,
you know, that they let you go and do that. But they were open to the actors making it better.
Oh sure. Yeah. But that's everywhere. That's in every... acting opportunity. You get a script, even if it's like excellent, great, you can still offer what you have. You flesh it out. You look at the script like a bit of a skeleton, and then you add the humanity that the writer is looking for. Larry Gelbart paid me that great compliment one day. He said, "You always surprise me. I think I wrote something and then you do this." And I think, I didn't think of it that way, but that's great, you know. So it's a communal effort,
yeah.
The writer and the actor and growing together and doing that together. The relationship that Margaret had with Frank could not continue. The writers were listening to me. I was listening to them. She was getting brighter. She was getting more fair. She wasn't the iron majorette or whatever. And here he was, inept as a doctor. She had a lot of respect for Hawkeye, BJ, and Trapper, their skill. That was part of her being an excellent nurse. She could admire and respect their skill, even if they teased her or picked on her or they fought or whatever. Here we had her lover being a joke in the operating room. He was just inefficient, inept. That's number one. Number two, he's a married man.
Right. Yeah, that's so, where I was going. Yeah.
If, let's say she was head over heels in love, which I never saw, but it was going nowhere. It was demeaning for her.
Yeah.
And so, again, Alan and I were talking about that. He said, it's a rough hoe because the writers love the two of you and you're so funny together and so forth. It's going to be hard for them to let go.
Funny. You know? Wow. Yeah.
And so it was up to me and Larry to convince them that it could be just as funny without being demeaning, you know. And so I remember the wonderful time we had on the phone, the writers and Gene and Larry, and I had a conference call. I was in New York doing a play. And they said, okay, I was on hiatus, obviously. This is when you prepare for the next season. All right, Lorette, how do you see her? What's coming up for her in your mind's eye? What do you want us to start thinking about? I want her to break off with Frank. I want her to go to Tokyo. I want her to go on R&R and meet someone who outranks Frank, who's not a doctor.
That's great.
And let her fall in love. Let her get engaged. She brings him back to the 4077th with this wonderful announcement. And this time she is head over heels in love. He's single. They're going to get married.
Right.
You know? So I said, I can just see Linville and what he's going to do with that. Is that material? He's going to tear off the doors to the mess tent, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
So, so again, there was this wonderful camaraderie and sharing and growing together, and that they loved those ideas. And I remember Gene said, what comes up next? I said, we get married. Harry gives me away. I've got this wonderful bridal the ensemble. And so I said, so she'll get married. And Gene Reynolds said, oh, gee, I don't know. He said, sweetheart, that's a little permanent. And I said, Gene, you're divorced. What are you talking about? Where do you see the permanence in marriage? Unless I look at the ratings here. So,
right,
so that's
right.
What we did. I said, she finds that he's been disloyal.
Right.
And, boom, you know, that's it. But again, this is a growing experience, and she won't stand for that. So we see her growth no matter what. She's going to face Donald Penobscot and say, I don't do this. You have been unfaithful, and I don't forget or forgive. I'm out of this marriage. And we also wrote about how difficult that is. You know, when you care about somebody and you've been so hurt, but you only have one exit to take if you're going to keep on growing. So anyway, everything had a kind of pattern of growth.
Yeah, no question. Even through the finale, I mean, you know, the character, Harry Morgan's character,
yes.
said, to Margaret, you know, I know you've got your plan. I know you got your plan to do something, but you know, don't forget to enjoy yourself.
Have a good happy life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I to this day cannot get through what I say to Harry Morgan, because we were very, very close. He was everything to me.
Yeah.
He was my father, my confessor, my colleague, my buddy, my best friend. He wore all those hats for me. He was even eventually my neighbor. I moved closer to him by accident. So anyway, he and his first wife were very close. We would go out for lunch every weekend, or they'd come to my house and I'd cook. So I had a look into those blue eyes.
Yeah.
And say to him, "You dear sweet man,
yeah,
I'll never forget you." Well, that just...
It was real.
It took a lot of rehearsing to get through it without sobbing.
But it was real, personally, too.
All of it was real. You know, let me just make that distinction. That was pretty much all of us. That was our kind of acting. It was not... an overcoat that we slipped into. It came from the heart and soul. We occupied those characters and behaved innately like those characters. We knew how they would feel.
Yeah. Yeah. And was it easier that you knew that, even though it was the 2.5 hour movie, the finale, that wasn't actually the last episode shot? It was about
That's
the time
correct.
Capsule.
It was bittersweet. There's no, you don't spend 11 years with people you love.
Yeah.
And, it was bittersweet. I, was sobbing and sniffling through that, when they said wrap, they put us in a bus and took us a few yards down to the commissary where there were hundreds of press people waiting, and we were on a dais, and they were asking us, you know, right this moment, how do you feel, and so forth. But it was overwhelming. It was just simply overwhelming, really. And what was extraordinary, when people left, as they are wont to do in the Army, or in Henry Blake's case, he was killed, new people would come in. And we got better because of it.
Yeah, interesting.
You know, we all had to relate to the new experience. Certainly, Harry Morgan brought a different commanding officer than Henry Blake, and I adored McLean. But it was a whole different experience. And David Ogden Stiers, what a shot in the arm. What a new note to bring in to a philharmonic orchestra. You know, it was each time a shot in the arm. It was adrenaline, and the show just kept growing because of it, I think, because of our new people and the notes, the tones, the colors that they brought us.
You know, animal activism has been such a big part of your life for so long. How did that passion start for you?
Oh, gee, I don't know. My mom and dad used to tell me they'd laugh at me when I was in the stroller. Okay, girls, you've just heard from my two Yorkies.
Yeah.
They said I'd be in the stroller if I saw a puppy. I would just... My face would blow up like a little balloon. I'd get all red, and I'd go, "Doggy, doggy, 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 doggy." They thought I was going to pop. And so I've always had that. And then as I got older, could do something about their plight, you know.
You won the Betty White Award for your activism, which must have meant a lot. She was a friend and a champion of animals all her life. But you,
oh boy, we Betty and I did so many campaigns together. I couldn't even name them.
That's great.
She was great. I remember she was at a microphone once about to introduce me, and she said, The thing I love most about her is when you call her up and say it's about animals, she drops everything and she's there. So, but you could say the same thing about Betty. I mean, we were joined at the hip about that. And she was, actors and others for animals, where I am, the first vice president. Betty was our member forever, and our great member emeritus. You know, she was always our great name to help us. But she was quite something.
Well, and you re-released your book, and you have a perfume out to raise money for your foundation.
Yeah, talk to us
about that. Yeah,
you know, the perfume is Sweetheart, and the book is Sweetheart Art.
Nice.
I owe that wonderful name, I think, because it's just, I think, brilliant. In California, maybe you heard of it because it was world famous. Giorgio, mm-hmm. They had a perfume and a boutique that was very, very famous. Fred Heyman was the entrepreneur, and he had this beautiful boutique store in Beverly Hills. It had, for example, a long bar where the gentlemen shopping with their wives could sit and have a drink and talk, and a pool table. So the wives, the girlfriends, whatever, are shopping and having a wonderful time, and the guys are just playing pool and having a drink. And so this was Fred Haven's idea, and it was beautiful. And so one day, well, always when I walked in, but he saw me and he said, "There's my sweetheart," and he'd give me a big hug. And I thought, what a lovely thing to do with my name. I must remember that and this might have even been before MASH, but "There's my sweetheart," and he'd give me a big hug. And I thought, I must remember to use that. It's a great, great play on my name, you know. And so, of course, I have. You can shop and see all the stuff that's available. I've designed a sweet little heart necklace that I'm going to bring out in Florida in October, and it's going to be available. It's my birthstone, topaz.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So I'm always, I make sure I'm linked into whatever it is, but it's a topaz, but they can come in colors the way diamonds can. You can have a yellow diamond or a green diamond. So I've done four different colors of this little heart. I've done an amethyst and a ruby and an emerald and a diamond. And it's quite charming. I wear mine, and everyone loved it. So I'm going to bring it out to see if everyone would like to have one, you know.
Very cool. Very cool. And folks can find that at sweetheart.org. Loretta, I have to tell you, what a great time talking to you.
Well, bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your time as well. And I love that you loved us. It's just a wonderful feeling that everyone had with the laughter, the tears, and all of it, you know.
Very cool.
It was a blessing, a
very
real
cool.
blessing.
Very cool. Thank you so much, Loretta.
Okay. God bless. Have a great day, huh?
You too. Thanks again.